You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. It's Thursday, which means there's football on tap this evening. We've got a full slate of college of football on the board. We've got an NFL matchup, a key divisional matchup, actually, as underachieving as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have been thus far this year. They're actually still in the mix, and as good as Atlanta have been, they're only a couple of losses away from being right in the middle of the pack with the New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We break it down. Teddy Covers will join me straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Paul Bovey joins us, I believe, from Malibu, California. Warren Sharp will join us from Washington, D.C. We've got some serious-ass cappers on the program today. All dudes that have made big money over the years in their own personal lives. So we're going to break down the NFL. We're going to talk some college football. And, with the World Series coming to a conclusion last night, it was easy to not realize that we've got Durant versus Westbrook part one throwing down tonight. An epic NBA game. And don't look now, man, but the Oklahoma City Thunder are actually 4-0. Kind of a tough spot for them, though. They played against the Clippers last night and it beat them outright. The game stayed under by about 90 points or something like that. It's one of those basketball games, man. And Clipper games, man, these guys have been playing in the 70s and the 80s and stuff like that. Paul Bovey will be our main NBA guy tonight, but we'll get Teddy's thoughts on this as well. Warren's a football guy, so we'll focus in on the National Football League with Warren and try to get to as many games as possible because we want to get his opinion. He's that damn smart. I'm not that damn smart, but I've got an opinion. So for our opening intro monologue today, instead of focusing in on one topic, I figured I'd just sort of channel Peter Griffin and Family Guy and tell you what's grinding my gears, so to speak. Let's call this random rage. As first things first, I do want to congratulate the Chicago Cubs for winning the World Series last night. First World Series championship in 108 years. And, you know, I just saw a story before I came into the studio about a dude that drove 600 miles, and he actually listened to the baseball game at his father's grave. Like, if that doesn't get to you, then, you know, you must just hate puppies as much as Michael Vick does. So, you know, 108 years? Come on, man. Like, even me. And I kind of fought it, but even me. Now, I got to be honest. I don't really care about anybody under, let's say, 50. Anybody under 30, that's a given. Under anybody under 20, I give two craps about. Oh, you really suffered, hey, you little punk. Oh, you really suffered. Half these people don't even know who Harry Carey is. They're running, oh, I go Cubs. Screw you. But for the old timers that have been around forever, you know, I give you that, man. Like, I get touched when I see a dude who was saying that his father was the biggest Cubs fan in the world and was heartbroken every year. And he said, one day we'll get it, Dad, together. So guy goes to the grave. Come on, man. That's pretty cool. Unlike the scumbag Cleveland Indian fans. But, you know, I tried to sit on the fence of all of this along the way. Really, let's just be honest. I don't like either of them. I don't really care. But you know, it harkened me back to all the classless things that Cleveland fans have done over the years. They were douches to the Toronto Raptors last year in the playoffs. And now, you know, we find out that poor Marlins fan received hundreds of death threats. If he had the audacity to show up in Cleveland, you're not welcome in Cleveland if you're a Marlins man, evidently. Now, Marlins man is the dude. Guy goes to the World Series. He pops up. The Marlins aren't there. He wears his Marlins jersey, and he sits right behind home plate. Somehow, this offends people. Somehow, like, he's a jerk. He's an ass. How dare he? He's just taking up the seats from a real fan. What, a real fan has $1,200 to sit behind home plate? How many real fans have that type of money? And, you know, the thing is, too, the guy's not some, like, gazillionaire or something like that. He says, I don't drink, I don't do drugs, I like cars, and I like to go to World Series games. But evidently he couldn't because of death threats from people in Cleveland. So, you know what? I'm glad you lost, Cleveland. And as far as the series and Game 7 was concerned, I don't know. Is it just me? I don't know. I have been in a bad mood recently, but I'm watching a game last night. It's Game 7 of the World Series. I felt nothing. No goosebumps. No, and I'm like, eh, it's kind of a crappy, poorly played game. Like, what, extra innings? Nothing. Like, I don't know. It was a one run. Think about it. It was a one run extra inning game in the World Series. Anyone say, oh, what a damn classic that was? Nah, it's like, yeah, good for the Cubs. What time's that Falcon-Buck game kickoff at? You know, and that's what's going to happen to people in Chicago. And it would happen to me if I'm a Buffalo Bill fan as well. You know, people live their entire lives, you know, hoping that their favorite team's going to win a championship. And then a team wins a championship and you realize your life still sucks. You still have a crappy job. You're still broke and still owe the banks a ton of money. Hey, the Cubs won. All right, a couple other things that are grinding my gears as well. Specifically, Josh Huff. And I guess I should be like every other jackass douchebag in the media. And, Josh Hirsch was arrested with a gun and marijuana. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's like Thelma and Louise. So what was he doing with his gun and marijuana anyways? Was he robbing anybody with the gun? You know, I get what was he shooting anyone with the gun? Did he try to kill someone yesterday or 2 days ago? Was he selling pounds of marijuana? No, he's got stopped in his car speeding and he had marijuana and gun in the car. Evidently, that's enough to get cut by the Philadelphia Eagles, which is all cute and stuff, but you wouldn't get cut from Marshall for that. It's all cute, but I want to see if you guys have the moral high ground down the road as well. It's too bad for Josh Huff, man. Guy's a wicked return, man. Fast as hell. I hope the Buffalo Bills sign him. I got no problems with dudes that pack heat. You're an idiot if you live in Philadelphia and you're driving a sports car with a bunch of bling and you're not packing heat. Like Josh Huff said, every professional athlete's carrying a gun, people. These guys, you think if Marlins man's getting death threats? What the hell do you think Kevin Durant deals with? Even I have jackasses that stalk and harass me. You know what? If I could shoot him, I would. So, you know, like, oh, he's got a gun. Yeah, he lives in Philadelphia. Oh, he's got a gun. You know what, Josh? Maybe if you would have taken that gun and put it in a woman's mouth, you'd still have a job right now. Maybe if you would have just slapped around a chick, you'd still have a job right now. Maybe if you would have beaten up a teenager on a beach over a beach chair, you'd be an assistant coach in the NFL right now. Maybe if you murdered 22 dogs with that gun, you'd get a multi-million dollar contract extension. Josh Huff, the Philadelphia Eagles might not have your back, but I do. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions. We are live on a Fantasy Sports Network. Show replays at 5:30. Replays on a Fantasy Sports Radio Networks at 5 o'clock Eastern. You can download the app on your iPhone, Android device, Fantasy Sports Network radio app. And apps are all the rage. And we want to introduce a new app to you as well. Are you a sports guru? You want to vent your rage? You want to voice your opinion on the Fantasy Sports Network? You now can. And we're actually going to debut this on Game Time Decisions right now. But if you upload the Sports Guru app to your iPhone, you can record a video, fire it off to us at the network here. And if it suits what we're doing, we're going to play it. And I understand somebody's got a beef about the college football playoffs. Hey, who doesn't? So let's introduce the sports guru rage. Let's do this.
Gabe, longtime fan here. Listen, every week you complain, who ruined your Sunday? Who ruined your Sunday? You know who ruins my Sunday every week? You. Because you give me the wrong picks every week. Look at last week. Oh, the Titans are going to beat the Colts. The Titans are going to smack the Colts. What happened? The Colts won because Andrew Luck's way better than Marcus Mariota. Oh, and Jim Harbaugh is a really good coach. No impressive victories this season. Oh, he beat Wisconsin. Big whoop. Clemson's going to kill them in the playoff, buddy. Get ready for it.
Is this supposed to be funny? Is this supposed to be some kind of joke? First off, I want to know who let a 10-year-old operate a camera like this. Does the dude here... The dude that just sent me this video, is he even up late enough to watch a Clemson football game? That's pretty good, Drew Livingston. You guys are really going to hang on to that Colts-Titans game forever, huh? Like, that's good, guys. You got me now. Is it April? What's next? What's that? April Fool's here? All right. We made Ted Savransky wait for this. Everything better be spelt right today or Teddy's going to be on all your asses. What's going on, Teddy?
Good to see you, Gabe. What's a good word?
It's good, good. They big up. We got this new video. I think that was like the test launch. And it turns out it's my jackass cameraman trolling me because he got one football pick right 2 weeks ago.
Nothing more fun than getting trolled by your cameraman, eh?
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, we're off to a great start here, Teddy. But Good to see you from a Ted Sportsbook and Casino in Vegas. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. November's insane. November's insane every year, and there's not much we can do about it when all the sports converge. And then you get a game seven like you have last night, and you end up watching TV for 4 hours when you should be handicapping. You don't get a whole lot of sleep this time of year. But the fact that it's busy is a good thing. You've got lots of stuff to talk about and potentially lots of winning wagers to make.
I mean this with all due respect, Teddy, but, you've always been the capper, that's the most heartless amongst anybody. Like,
Thank you.
Yeah, like you don't care about, like, any sentimental stuff. I remember years ago we got a big laugh out of that when Sarah Meenan asked you about some sap story about the Super Bowl, and you're like, what, huh? Like, you were just sort of floored by it. You didn't really even understand where she was going with it. You're like, Sarah, I break down games and point spreads. Like, I'm not interested in the melodrama of this. Last night, was that a good baseball game? Because I got to be honest, like, and I was busy. I was writing, doing stuff while the game was going on, but I had it on. And I wasn't enthralled in the same way I was about that Braves-Twins game years ago. You know, World Series game seven, one-run game, didn't feel that same way to me.
I mean, the Braves-Twins game from 1991 remains the best baseball game I've ever seen. I mean, I've never seen a game better than that in World Game 7 of the World Series where he goes scoreless into the 10th. Smoltz and Jack Morris. That was pretty amazing. Last night's game compares, you know. I mean, it compares with the Rangers-Cardinals game. Was it game 7 or game 6?
I'll give you that. You know what it remind me of? Sort of remind maybe, I don't know why, but I think of last night's World Series, I sort of think of the Yankees-D-back series.
Sure, but the funny thing about last night's game was that as I was watching, and I'm like, you're an idiot. No, you're an idiot. You know, it was like Madden and Francona, two managers who we love, kept doing stuff that was like made you pull your hair out.
It's funny that happens, though, Teddy. I remember in the college football playoff, or it was a BCS or whatever the hell it was, but I remember it was Saban versus Meyer at the Sugar Bowl. And I swear to God, it was the Cardell Jones game. They both did like five ridiculously stupid things in the fourth quarter that if it was any other coaches, it'd be like, these guys are morons, man. But no, it's Meyer and Saban, right? So it's okay.
It's the same kind of thing. You know, Brady throws a bad pass that gets knocked down. You go, oh, Tom Brady, he's the greatest of all time. And then, you know, some rookie comes in and throws the same pass to the same guy, and it gets knocked out. They go, oh, he can't make throws like that.
Yeah, I know. My favorite is Teddy, too. I remember earlier, like, they always blame, like, if you got a rookie quarterback and you have a veteran wide receiver, the analyst always blames the quarterback. He's got to get on the same page with the wide receiver. I'm thinking, actually, the ball was exactly where it was supposed to be. The vet screwed up there.
Well, I mean, that's something that shows like this bring, Gabe. We're not mainstream media heads.
No.
We watch games. We sweat games. We actually know these teams. We're not sit and fat and happy and millionaires and maybe we'll have the game on in the background. You and I, every night, buddy, I know it. We're sweating this stuff and we're paying attention, which is something that I think gives us a relatively unique commentary compared to a lot of the stuff that you see on national TV.
Well, paying attention and sweating it out. I had the Falcons as my survivor pick last week. that was a panic and a sweat job. But coming in, the Bucs lose that game to the Raiders last week. And I got to be honest, I was pretty high on the Bucs. I thought they were that trendy team coming into this season. And yeah, they've been underachieving. But, you know, and I'm not a big standings guy, Teddy. Like, you know what I mean? We don't, you know, we're going by spots and situations. But if you actually take a second to look at the standings, the Bucs are still in this thing, in this division. This is a big game. The Falcons haven't run away with anything yet. And a couple of losses and boom, suddenly the Saints and the Bucs are in play. It's a flat spot for the Falcons coming off that win. But the Buccaneers beat them up in week one. It's an interesting game tonight.
Yeah, and I can't call it a flat spot, even though they are coming off that big Green Bay victory because of the point that you mentioned. On opening day, Tampa went in Atlanta, and the Bucs were the better of the two teams that day. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Jameis Winston found receivers open downfield against Atlanta secondary all afternoon, much the way Brett Favre did last week. I mean, three different Packer receivers caught their first ever career touchdown.
I think we just got a Brett Favre reference in there. You just say that just like Brett Favre did.
That's Green Bay. That's the Falcons secondary.
Right? Yeah, we're getting old, Teddy. We're getting old.
We're not getting, buddy. We're already there, you know. But it beats the alternative, as far as I know.
Yeah, that's a good way. You know, our cameraman won. Mikey's happy. You got a Brett Favre reference. Here he is. We even got him on the desk. We got a little Brett Favre action figure. Brett Favre lives on, Teddy. So sorry to cut you. I just had to get that in.
The point is the Falcons' defense isn't any good.
I know. You know,
it hasn't been good from day one. Tampa's offense, which hasn't moved the ball consistently at any point this season. Last week against that Oakland, they have three different tries. All they need is a field goal. Three different tries in the fourth quarter or in overtime to win that game. And what happened? Three and out, three and out, three and out. The nine plays combined, I think, for 16 total yards. They couldn't move the ball when it mattered most against, you know,
bad defense. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what the Bucs is, Teddy? Like, it's a good thing that you just said. To me, that's a good analogy of this football team, that they're not terrible, but they get into the fourth quarter. We saw this last year, too. They don't have another gear, Teddy. You know what I mean? You know, like when other teams are, we're going to raise it up just a little notch. Game's on the line, final 8 minutes. The Bucs don't seem to have that notch to raise.
Well, I think some of it has to do with all the injuries they've suffered. I mean, let's not forget, this team right now is out of healthy running backs. You know, and the...
Yeah, Jaquizz Rodgers not even playing tonight.
Yeah, they're out. The top three are out. And don't underestimate what Doug Martin meant to that team. I'm not a running back guy. You know me. I'm not a guy that's like, oh, this running back's worth something. Running backs are worth nothing to the point spread in the NFL. But the situation in Tampa where they lost their top three, and Martin in particular was a guy who worked so well in that offense, both of the dump-off pass catcher for Winston and a guy who was capable of grinding yards between the tackles. They don't have anybody like that now. And that, in my mind, a big concern for Tampa Bay both tonight and moving forward, especially since we're talking about a team that just lost at home to a team that committed an NFL record 23 penalties last week. They were outgained by 370 yards in that game. Hard for me to make a case for the Bucs tonight.
You know what's crazy, too, is they've actually won three straight versus the Falcons. Actually, a triple revenge spot. What do you make of this number? And I'm a big Mark Lawrence playbook disciple. I love the database. I don't overanalyze some of the numbers. Some of them are a little extreme. But this one, something's happening here. The underdog is 21-3 against the spread in the Atlanta Falcons' last 24 games, Teddy.
That is something you certainly want to be aware of. especially when now this...
Oh, yeah, and Dan Quinn's 1-11 is a favorite.
Yeah. The Falcons, they're the public side here. This line's already moved from 3 to 3.5. So there are four popping up. You know, there are fours popping up. You know what the square side of this game is. That's the road chalk.
Oh, they just beat the Green Bay Packers, and they put up all these points. Tampa suck. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, but in order to get to Tampa, you have to like Tampa. Just because square sides win. Square sides win in every sport. It's not like every square side automatically.
I know.
But Atlanta's a square side here. Take that for what it's worth.
You're right. I'm going to call it the nose plug pick, Teddy. I'm going in and I'm plugging the nose here. You know what I mean? All right. Before we get to some college football, I see you release your power rankings. And I found it interesting, actually, Teddy, that you had the Packers. You had the Pats, Cowboys, Packers. And I said the same thing. And I think people kind of raised their eyebrows earlier in the week. I said, hey, guys, the Packers lost that game. But if I'm a Packer fan, I'm really happy by what I saw. You know, it was like 16, 17 weeks that Rodgers didn't throw 300 yards. He did it 2 weeks ago. That offense seems to be coming together a little bit. You know, Rodgers seems to have that sort of attitude and swagger back, Teddy. Do you agree with that?
Yes, and that's why I got Green Bay ranked number 3 in the NFL, ahead of Atlanta. Remember, they covered the spread. They exceeded expectations in that ballgame from a Las Vegas perspective, and my power rankings are all about point spreads and creating what I consider to be accurate point spreads for any given ball game. So when we look at Green Bay, and of course there's going to be a difference, this is what we do, Gabe. Again, not to belay, you know, bang the nail on the head 500 times, but the mainstream media, all they worry about is wins and losses. And if you lose, therefore you stunk. And if you won, therefore you're great. And here in Las Vegas, in our world, it's not always about straight up wins and losses. It's about, are you improving? Are you getting worse? And Green Bay's improving right now. I'm with you 100%.
What do you think about this game laying 7, though? Is it too high against the Colts? Well,
I mean, Indy beat me 2 weeks ago against Tennessee. And, boy, in retrospect, I'm even madder about that loss.
These guys
now
are still making videos mocking me about it. Trust me, I'm pissed about that one, too.
I know. That's why I wanted to bring it up, so that I can mock you, too. I'm just kidding. We're both on the same side in that ballgame. But the fact that Tennessee comes out last week and annihilates Jacksonville, and Indy in particular, I mean, that was a lifeless showing at home last Sunday in a position where they had a chance. All of a sudden, they get that win at Tennessee. Now things are live for them. They're live in division. Indy can make some noise, and to come out and play the way they did, well, there was nothing going right. I mean, the Colts' defense has stunk all year. But to see the offensive line, you know, unable to protect Andrew Luck, he's getting pounded back there. Would have taken another five sacks last week, six sacks. I don't remember. It was, you know, he was under relentless pressure. The receiving core isn't helping him out. The running game isn't helping him out. Indianapolis is a mismatched roster. And they're not, for me, a one-way team. If I'm not betting against the Colts, I'm not getting involved in the game. So it's Green Bay or nothing.
I'm starting to think about Green Bay and my survivor pool, actually. In this, I really want to lay the seven, but I think they're going to win a football game. All right, Teddy, time always flies when you're on, buddy. Quick, we got 2 minutes here. So college games, we'll skip the junk. Oklahoma and Iowa State are playing. I like the over there. UCLA and Colorado. And we got flown under the radar, man, but Durant and Westbrook, part one tonight. So out of those three games, what do you got for us?
Let's talk Durant Westbrook, because Golden State is 1-3 against the spread. All right. They lost their only home game by, 29 to San Antonio.
Yep.
It's a Warriors team. Oh, they beat it. They blew out Portland the other night, and everyone's like, oh, everything's fine for Golden State. No, Ian Clark got hot off the bench. All right. You look at the Warriors' defensive stats this year compared to last year, way down. You look at their rebounding stats this year compared to last year. Way down. Oh, by the way, they're going up against the number one defensive team in the NBA so far. And the number one, no, I believe they're number two in rebounding so far. But last year, they were the best rebounding team, one of the best rebounding teams in the NBA history. And I expect them to be comparable this season. Yeah, OKC's on the second night of back-to-backs. Yeah, they won straight up in L.A. last night. But in my mind, the Warriors are a one-way team. I think they are dramatically overvalued. People don't realize how many different pieces Golden State lost in the offseason, whether it's Bogut or Spates
Barnes.
I mean, there's Barnes and Barbosa. I mean, a lot of key rotation players out of the mix for Golden State, and they're working new guys in. They're not hopeless. They're not going to be bad all year, but to look at this team as a finished product in the second week of November, the first week of November, they're not. This point spread range is pretty rich, in my opinion. I can only look at OKC plus the 11. 11 points for OKC? That's too high.
I like where you're going with that, Teddy. And normally I'd say, let's take a look at the over, too. But Oklahoma City are playing good defense. They're going to grind this thing out. This has been working for them, the way that they're playing. And I agree. Yeah, they played last night. But the fact they're playing against Kevin Durant right now. People make this, you know, Westbrook and Durant. There's a bunch of other guys in that room that are like, screw Durant, man. The guy played us all. Screw him. And, yeah, not everyone in Golden State even wants Durant there, secretly. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to stay away from the total, but I'm taking the points too, Teddy.
Yeah, have you seen Klay Thompson's numbers so far this year?
Yeah, I'm sure he's ecstatic, huh?
Yeah. Thanks for coming along, Kevin. You really helped my game out.
And
the Warriors as a team from beyond the arc. Remember the best three-pointing team, the shooting team that anyone's ever seen?
What, 29% now?
Not so far, they're not.
Yeah, and that's why another reason, guys, with a total of 223, these two teams are both shooting under 30% from three-point territory. Teddy, it's always a pleasure, my man. Check out Teddy, sportsmemo.com. He's one of the cover's experts and SBR sports bit videos on a daily basis on the YouTube page. Thanks, Teddy.
Hey, thank you. Always fun, Gabe.
And there's Ted Safransky with us, right? We'll take a quick break. Warren Sharp joins us next. We'll focus on some NFL games. All right, Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Thanks to Ted Savransky for joining us straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. I enjoyed that conversation, and I always enjoy breaking it down with sharpfootballanalysis.com's Warren Sharp. You can find him on Periscope before primetime games. You can find him online at various major websites. But if you go to his, you go to sharpfootballanalysis.com, you'll find it all. Warren, it's always a pleasure. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to this weekend's card. a lot more games than there were the past couple of weeks. Obviously, last week was light too. So looking forward to all these bye teams getting over with, so we have a little bit more to choose from.
Yeah, you know, I had some action on the World Series, and I was playing throughout the week NBA and some of those crappy Mac college football games as well. But you know, sort of light units. But you know, I like to push the pedal to the metal. It's who I am, and it's what I do. And I've got that feeling coming into tonight, Warren. It's going to be a big gambling night tonight. A lot of games on the board. I like a few of these spots, and I'm ready to make some money tonight.
I hear you.
All right, so let's start off with the NFL game this evening. Falcons and Buccaneers. It's amazing, Warren. There was 8 straight of these primetime games went under the number. So what happened? The Thursday game went over last week, that Tennessee game. The Sunday game went over with the Eagles. The Monday Nighter did not go over with the Bears and the Vikings. Is this the highest total we've had for one of these Thursday games, Warren? Like what? It's down to 50.5 right now, but it's an intriguing matchup tonight, and it's a pretty big game as far as the AFC South is concerned.
No, it is a very big game. I mean, obviously, Tampa, they beat Atlanta earlier this year, and a win here would put them really within reach of you know, this division. I think right now, given the fact that this division is kind of up in the air, I mean, unless Atlanta picks it back up. But definitely, I'm really intrigued. I kind of understand what we're going to get out of the Atlanta Falcons tonight. I'm intrigued to see the way that Tampa Bay tries to attack this defense, because Tampa Bay started out the first 3 weeks of the season. Granted, they were going up against some decent run defenses apart from Atlanta, but they were passing the ball a ton. In actuality, in the first half, that's kind of when you can tell what a team's strategy is. And then they'll make adjustments at halftime based on what we need to do now to win the game. Can we afford to run the ball more because we're up big? Do we need to change something because we're trailing, so we have to pass it more? So in the first half, you can really tell what a team's looking to do. In the first half, of the first 3 weeks, they were actually passing the ball 68% of the time on early downs, on first and second down. The last 3 games, that's completely flip-flopped, and they're actually running the ball 62% of the time, which is interesting considering the fact that their running backs have gone out. They had a healthy running back core at the beginning, and they chose to pass. It's as if they don't have as much faith in Jameis Winston, but they're running the ball a lot more the last 3 weeks, really pounding it in.
What are they going to do tonight then, Warren, as far as you think they'll just continue that and say, screw it? Yeah, you don't know who our running back is, but we're going to run the ball. Because you're right. It seems like as Dirk Cutter sort of realizing, if I'm going to win games, I sort of have to try to minimize Jameis' mistakes here.
Exactly. That's kind of been the game plan, and they've obviously had a lot of success. They of course, went... they took on the Denver Broncos in that monsoon, and they had a rain delay during the thunderstorm, and they ended up losing that game. And it's from that point onward, it's like they've decided, we're going to try to establish the run and run the ball more. They have that short week to go to Carolina on Thursday. They run the ball a lot there. They obviously take on the 49ers. They're able to run the ball there. But again, I'm not looking at even like the second half, just the first half of these games, even last week against the 49ers. Sorry, against the Raiders. The Falcons, they had success throwing the ball against them week one in Atlanta. So I would be surprised if they go as run heavy as they've been the last few weeks, but it is a Thursday night game. The goal, of course, in this game in particular, what's the goal against any good offense? Keep that other team off the field. So keep the defense of Atlanta on the field, keep their offense off the field. You don't really want to get in the shootout with the Atlanta Falcons. So that could be their strategy tonight.
Falcons are putting up 32 points a game. They're giving up 28 points per game. Tampa scoring just 21.7. And they're actually giving up 27 right now. Julio Jones is banged up tonight as well. And it's funny, you know, you talk about, you know, the Falcons, and even the Falcons are mixing it up a little bit. I'm a big prop guy, and I'm looking at Matt Ryan's numbers tonight, 306 and a half yards. And actually, in 4 of the last 6 Atlanta Falcon games, he's gone under 300 yards. People remember, you know, the big outburst with him and Jones when they went to Oakland and stuff, but they've been more systematic as well, actually.
Yeah, they have. They've tried to be a little bit more systematic, of course. This game, they take their shots down the field strategically, do the Atlanta Falcons. They will like to run the football. I think they should have some success against this secondary. I mean, as you know, one of the issues with Tampa Bay is what they're capable of doing defending the pass. They rank 19th against the pass. They're slightly better against the run. They have faced and actually an easy schedule of opposing offenses, 21st rated schedule of opposing offenses in the NFL. And so you look at the good passing offense that they faced, they have not faced a single other team apart from Atlanta, who ranks inside the top 16 teams, the top half of the NFL, except for the Oakland Raiders, who they played last week. And of course, Oakland ended up winning that game 30-24. The reality is they had, what, 200 penalty yard? I mean, the penalties were ridiculous by the Oakland Raiders in that game. So
I think they out-yarded them by like 350 yards or something like that. It was insane.
Exactly. So I have a feeling that, I mean, we've seen some of the sharper money come in this afternoon on the Atlanta Falcons, moving that line up to 4.5. The total, in my opinion, seems a little bit low, but then you factor in that it is a Thursday night game. I mean, my raw math puts this above 51 points, puts it around like 53. And, you know, we're seeing some 50s out there on the market, but you factor in the shorter week, maybe a more conservative game plan from the Bucs, trying to run the ball a little bit more. Julio's injury slightly affecting the total there. So, I mean, there's a number of considerations. I probably am not going to do anything, but that's the number that my model puts out on the game.
Norv Turner and Mike Zimmer just couldn't be on the same page, and it wasn't ugly. You know, they said we remain very good friends, but we just have a serious difference in philosophy moving forward, and it's just not going to work for either of us. Interesting here, because a couple of weeks ago, people were raving Turner and what he was doing for Sam Bradford. The feeling I get is Zimmer wants to run the ball more and stop getting the quarterback killed so much. What's your take on this, and suddenly the Vikings laying points against the Lions?
Oh, well, God, I really hope they don't run the ball more. I really think that would be an actual disaster, because that's exactly what I think that their problem is right now. We talked about that being a big problem of theirs last year in terms of on first down in the first half, we're going to try to establish the run, and we're just going to hand the ball off, and we're just going to establish it. And what ends up happening, the defense knows you're going to run at such a high rate that it's easy to stop.
And that was with Adrian Peterson. Peterson, yeah.
Exactly. That was with Adrian Peterson. This year, they started off the season unlike that. They were actually passing the ball half, you know, about league average in terms of what they were doing on first downs in the first half. But the last 4 weeks, they have gone 64% run in the first half on first down. That's the second most in the NFL. The other team that's up that high is the Dallas Cowboys. The difference is the Minnesota Vikings are gaining 2.9 yards per carry on those runs, and the Dallas Cowboys are gaining like 5 yards per carry on those runs. So what ends up happening is Minnesota now on second and third down is passing the ball 73% of the time, well above the NFL average, because they're running the ball so much on first down without any success. So this is kind of getting into like Norv Turner. He's kind of like regressing back into this pit that he was in last year of just getting so predictable in terms of what he wants to do on first down. He thinks it's helping the quarterback. In reality, it's hurting him. I don't think that they need to pass the ball more overall, but that run game would have a lot more success if they started passing the ball a little bit more on early downs, letting the defense not be so anticipatory in terms of what they were going to do offensively, and then allow them to run the ball on second and five instead of being in second and nine and having to pass it. So there's definitely things that the offensive coordinator now can do to try to help out this offense, in particular the run game, which would therefore help out Sam Bradford as well.
I agree with you, Warren. It's a new philosophy we're in right now. In the old days growing up, it used to be that you would run the football to set up the passing game. Now it's the opposite. I completely agree. If I'm a coach on first down, I'm just throwing a bubble screen, man. I'm just dinking and dunking it on first down to a quick guy in the slot. I'm picking up 6, 7 yards, 5 yards. If he busts it, good. And then on second and four, second and five, that's when I pound it, man, and I start running the football on second and five, and on third and one. And you and I agree. Second and one is not a free play. It's a time to pick up the damn first down play.
Right. To me, it's all about efficiency, and in addition, it's all about catching the defense off guard. And when is the most optimal time for a quarterback to pass the ball? It's on first and 10 when the defense doesn't know what they're going to do as run pass, you know, option, as opposed to on third and 8 or second and 10 after a failed run play on first down, and now you're in second and long. Of course, you're not going to run the ball.
But they do it all the time. They do it all the time. And then they find themselves at a third and 1, and they go in a shotgun. and then they throw the ball, and it gets batted down at the line. Warren, time always flies by when you're on the show, man. We had 12 minutes here with you. I want to get your take on the Colts and the Packers game. Total's 54. You told me a couple of weeks ago there was, you know, 9 games at the time with a total of 50. 7 of them had gone over the number, and most of them skyrocketed over the number. And we were talking about it in correlation with that Chargers-Falcons game, which did skyrocket over the number. Last week, there were a few totals at 50, 50 and a half that didn't end up getting there. But what's your take on this one with the Colts in the pack? Is the total too high?
I don't know that it's too high, but my math doesn't quite get me there. My biggest concern here is what the Colts offense is going to do against this Packers defense. We know that the Packers defense does have issues, but they did a good job overall against the Falcons, particularly earlier on in that game. And the Falcons obviously have much more of an explosive offense. We know that T.Y. Hilton is somewhat banged up. I think he's practicing now. They're saying he might give it a go this week, but he was truly questionable last week. This Colts team is probably not going to have much success running the football. They are going to have to be one-dimensional. So if you are looking towards the over here, that is one saving grace. You're going to have two teams that are going to be passing the ball an awful lot in this game. But for me, from the math perspective, I just don't see the value here unless the Green Bay Packers start attacking much more deep down the field. They gave one nice shot to Jordy to start the game, but most of their passing has been in the short to medium area, and that still takes time, especially with the accuracy of Aaron Rodgers. He's going to complete the ball for 7, 8, 9 yards, but you're still going to have these over and over, have to keep doing that up and down the field, and that does take time, as opposed to in years past where he would just throw, you know, a 40-yard bomb to over the top. So that's the only concern that I have here. But my math is slightly lower than this, but I won't argue. I'm not looking to go under this total against both of these teams with their banged-up secondaries, especially if Vontae Davis is out.
Yeah, Packers 3-4 to the under. They only put up 30 or more 2 times. One of them was last week and once against the Lions. Colts have played they played 4 straight overs before going under last week versus KC. Same with you, Warren. I wouldn't want to take the the under here, but I think it might just fall just short there. We got to get out of here, Warren. It's always a pleasure, my man. We encourage people to check out Warren Sharp over at sharpfootballanalysis.com. Thanks for the time, Warren.
All right, have a great weekend.
There's Warren Sharp with us. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Paul Bovey coming up next. The Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, the show's been going by pretty fast, man. Seems like we get a segment going, and then boom, it comes to an end right away. But we've had Ted Savransky on, Teddy Covers, and we've had Warren Sharp. Now, I don't think that Paul and Warren know each other. A lot of people in Vegas know Warren, but Warren lives in on the Northeast, lives in the District of Columbia. But I know Paul and Teddy know each other, and I know Paul. What's going on, Paul? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right, Gabe. How you doing today?
Good stuff. I'm ready to rock. I'm looking forward to getting you on the show here, especially mixing it up. We moved you from Mondays to Thursdays, Paul, so we can get some NBA action in too, you know?
I'm good with it, Gabe.
All right, so let's get down to business. NFL football. I've already broken down this game twice with people, but I like getting the third opinion. I'll tell you my opinion. I'm on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers here, actually. It's one of these deals. I'm not going to say it's a flat spot for Atlanta, but it's hard to play at that high level of emotion that they played on last Sunday against the Packers, even in the division game. Tampa just aren't that good, though, Paul. But I'm going to pull the trigger and, you know, the old clothespin pick, pull the trigger and hold my nose.
Well, I guess that's what it's all about, Gabe. I don't think Atlanta's going to take Tampa Bay soft. Look, they lost the first game to them, 31-24. I don't think they could afford that second loss.
Winston threw 4 touchdown passes. That was his best game of the year.
It was his best game of the year, and the problem with the Falcons was that game they went to the red zone 4 times, came away with one. What was it? I think they put it this way. They did not score touchdowns on 3 of the 4 red zone trips, and they have to do better. Matt Ryan had a great game. I don't believe in the Buccaneer pass defense, and I said it before the Raider game. They had the privilege of taking on Colin Kaepernick the prior week. He's just not a very good quarterback, but they've been lit up this year by Carson Palmer, Carr. They've been lit up several times, and Matty Ice is going to light him up tonight.
I can't disagree with Matty Ice lighting him up tonight, and I'm a little bit concerned whether Winston can keep up as well. What do you think about the total tonight, then? You think it's going to get there?
Well, it's nudging down. I have more confidence in Atlanta putting up points than I do Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay just goes into a shell sometimes, and I think their weapons are definitely have been compromised. Let's put it that way. Running back-wise, receiver-wise, Vincent Jackson's out, Doug Martin's out.
Jaquizz Rodgers is out.
I have confidence in the Falcons doing what they need to do.
All right, so you like the Falcons tonight. You don't seem to be alone. Did you take a look at any of the props? I know you're a prop guy. Let me just run through some of the numbers. Matt Ryan, 24.5 completions, 306.5 passing yards. One thing, Paul, I noticed here. Matt Ryan has passed for less than 300 yards in four of the last six Falcon games. Julio Jones, 5.5 catches, 95.5 yards. That's pretty high, too high for me to bet. Sanu, 4.5, 47.5. Mike Evans, 5.5 catches. Evans has six or more in four of the seven Buck games. I like the prop that I like to caught my eye tonight. And Winston is somewhat of a disappointment this year. But there's a prop out there, over under touchdown passes. Jameis Winston, 1.5. I like the over 1.5 in this spot right here. Even if he struggles, he'll throw two touchdown passes. They have no one to run the ball. He's going to throw the ball like 50 times tonight.
Yeah, but over 1.5 to me is just too close for comfort. First of all, with respect to Atlanta, it's hard to play a player prop. He spreads the ball about too much. There's too much uncertainty. Will Sanu get the ball in his direction? Will Julio Jones get in his direction? If you look, there's been such a variance.
And he's been thrown to the tight end a lot too, Paul. You saw that against the Packers. I like that play. Boom, they were going to Tammy. Boom, over the middle often. I like the element of that, the old-school Tony Gonzalez play.
Well, take a look at Tammy. He had 8 targets the first 2 games, and that has been whittled down the last few weeks. And that just feeds into what I was saying, that it's just there's too much inconsistency with what he does. And even at running back, you now have one of the backs are out, and Devonta Freeman, he's been sharing the workload. So is he going to go over? He hasn't been great this year, 4.7 yards a rush. But if you take out the New Orleans game, he's below 4. I'd rather go, and you mentioned him, Mike Evans. Mike Evans only had 7 targets in that first contest, but several of the guys who got the majority of the targets that game, Doug Martin, Vincent Jackson, they're out. Adam Humphrey's targets have also whittled down. Mike Evans is going to get probably 12 to 14 targets tonight. The cornerbacks for Atlanta, they're 5'10 and 6 feet. Mike Evans is a monster at 6'6.
Paul Bovey, VegasInsider.com with us. You can get Paul's picks over there. He's been having a great NFL campaign. NBA now up and running. We've only got a couple of minutes left already. There were 3 games I wanted to get to with you in the association, although you know, there's a big one in Oakland tonight. Celtics and Cavs. Hey, Cavs are rolling along right now, 4-0. But I think the numbers, you know, are getting a little bit too high. They won by 8 the other night against Houston. This 10 and a half attracts me when a Boston team is putting up 108 a game. Horford's going to be out tonight. They're giving up 105. Nuggets, talking about injuries, a lot like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Will Barton out. Gary Harris out. Daryl Arthur out. I just don't know. And I don't know if I trust the T-Wolves to lay 3.5. Rubio's out. Dunn's in. Dunn looked good for them. And then we've got the big showdown in Oakland tonight with the red-hot Oklahoma City Thunder going in there with a 4-0 record, taking on the Warriors. What do you like in the association tonight?
I got to hit you on that Golden State game. The Thunder are 4-0. I don't think it's a very impressive 4-0. I don't know how they pulled that off last night. Westbrook had 10 turnovers, 0-7 from beyond the arc. But the Clippers oftentimes regress. The Thunder have beaten the Lakers at home comfortably, struggled against Philly, struggled against Phoenix at home. They do not shoot the ball well from the outside. It's basically all Russell Westbrook driving the lane, penetrating, creating, and look, the Golden State Warriors don't have somebody down low to defend. Zsa is playing 17 to 20 minutes a game these days, but the Warriors are coming into their own. It will take them time, just like it took the big three a couple years ago, 6 years ago, when they all assembled in Miami. I think the Warriors are going to roll over them tonight. I really do.
You think they roll them, huh? Yeah. I like the points. I don't trust Golden State, but I almost feel like I'm walking right into a trap. The total is 223, Paul. I'm staying away from the total. Like you said, Oklahoma City can't shoot the three ball, but surprisingly enough, neither can Golden State this year. Both shooting under 30%, both teams.
Well, one of them doesn't shoot the three. The other one maybe just a little bit off in their at this point, but they'll get it together. Remember, Kevin Durant is a bit of a ball stopper. So they've had to fine-tune their offense. They're in a transitional period, and they're all redefining their roles. But to their credit, they've been balancing out the shots. The other night it was 15 to 17 amongst the three, and I think last game it was like 15 to 21. Look, I wouldn't lay the points here. I just think Golden State's going to win. 10.5 is too many.
Paul Bovey, VegasInsider.com. You want to win? Check him out. Thanks for the time, Paul.
Thank you, Gabe.
There's Paul Bovey, VegasInsider.com. I think I got a dozen picks for you coming up next, man. I'm fired up. Let's win some money coming up next. All right, let's do this thing. Time to beat the book down. We had a ton of experts on today. They all like the Atlanta Falcons. You know what? I like experts, but I don't listen to anybody. I'm taking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is dangerous, man. The Buccaneers suck, but I don't think they suck as much as they appear to suck, if that makes sense. I think the Falcons are in a flat spot here. The Falcons might win this game and probably win the game, but I don't think they're going to win by four. We're going to take the Falcons. We're going to go Falcons and Buccaneers over the number, and we're going to tease the Buccaneers to plus 11 and the over. Jameis Winston, he's got nobody to hand the football off to. He's going to be throwing on every down. Let's go over 262.5 yards. I like Jameis Winston to go over 1.5 touchdowns tonight as well. Let's go long field goal. It's a little low at 42.5. They both have good kickers. All right, Buffalo, and yeah, that kid is a good kicker. Buffalo at Ohio. Let's go over 51. Oklahoma and Iowa State over 72. We're all about the overs tonight. Should be a high-scoring game. And in Colorado, UCLA, Colorado over the number. Give me the 10.5 points with the Boston Celtics. Celtics and Cavaliers. I like this game to go over, man. Both these teams are running up and down the court. And we've got the matchup, the showdown. Russell Westbrook goes into Oakland to take on Kevin Durant and the Golden State Warriors. I don't want to mess with the total at 223. I think it's a little bit high, and I hate betting on the unders, but I will take the double-digit points with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Remember, it's not just Westbrook versus Durant. They all hate him. May the winners be yours.